going to start with a nice word on Pasuk Kedoshim. In Sefer Bigdei Aharon, he says on the Pusik, L'Saylech Ruchel Ba'ameichu L'Samet Al Dam Re'echu Ani Hashem. What's the connection, the beginning of the Pusik and the end of the Pusik, talking Lashon Hara, and L'Samet Al Dam Re'echu. He says if somebody will know that, let's say one person wants to kill the other person or do something bad, and he's thinking, how could I go tell out on him? I'm going to go tell his friend that he wants to do something, that somebody wants to do something bad to him. That's going to be Lashon Hara, it's going to be Rechilas, I can't do that. So the Pusik is saying, L'Saylech Ruchel Ba'ameichu. You talk, I can't say Lashon Hara, but L'Samet Adam Re'echu. You're not allowed to let someone be hurt. Sometimes it's important to say something. And the Raya is, at the end of the Pusik, Ani Hashem. Look what Hashem did when Hashem saw that Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, Vayigad L'Rivka, as Divrei Esav, it says that, Rashi says, it was Richa Koidish, telling Rivka what Esav wanted to do. So Hashem is saying, learn from me, that sometimes it's important to know how to say and when to say when somebody's going to do the wrong thing. And this is a general idea that's often misinterpreted. Sometimes we don't know who to stick up for. You see somebody hurting someone else, and we always feel bad. You don't want to let somebody be hurt. But on the other hand, maybe the other person, maybe he's going to feel too challenged and things like that. And especially, obviously, this discussion is very relevant when it comes to children, right? Children fight a lot. Children don't get along. This one's bickering. This one's fighting. This one's insulting and hurting someone's feelings. And very often, people get stuck in trying to figure out, when do you say what? Who do you stick up for? Maybe someone provoked him, or maybe he's having a bad day, and this one's stressed out, and this one's more special needs, and things like that. And it takes a lot of siyat d'shmaya, to figure out when to say what, especially with children, and with all relationships. So often in families, you see all kinds of, unfortunately, so much conflict and so much fighting, siblings and relatives and uncles and aunts and parents and grandparents, and very often people are stuck not knowing if they should either take sides or not take sides. Should they stick up for someone? Should they not stick up for someone? Should I just mix out? Does mixing out mean that I'm not coming to the simcha if I do go to the simcha? Things like that. And I think this is why it's important to, just to ask Hashem. I think this is sometimes the conflict between L'Saylech Ruchel and L'Samet Adam Re'echu, we need the Ani Hashem at the end of the Pusik just to help us out with the right amount of Siyat D'Shmaya to get it right. Sometimes it looks like a contradiction, and without Hashem helping us, figuring out what to say when and what to say to who, things really do get very complicated. I read a letter that somebody wrote. L'chvoyder Rav Gruen, thank you very much for your shurim. They're very enlightening and helpful, and we are gaining tremendously. Okay, thank you. We would really appreciate your guidance on the following matter. In regards to sibling rivalry, I have understood from different mechanchim in the past that the best way to approach sibling rivalry is not to get involved, not to take sides, and to let the children work it out between themselves. I would like to hear what the Rav holds about this issue. Often situations come up in my home where it's hard not to take sides, where you see that one child is clearly at fault, either because he uses words to bother a younger, more sensitive child, or because he becomes physical and hurts the child who often doesn't or sometimes can't stand up for himself. For example, my son will see that my daughter came home with candies from a birthday party in school, and because he'll want the candies, he may start to hurt her, verbally or even physically, because she won't share her candies with him. What ends up happening is that the victim in this scenario ends up crying or getting hurt by what he said or done to her. What's the right reaction to this? To tell them to sort it out without taking sides? What if I can clearly see that my daughter did nothing wrong and my son was the one who started bothering her? This also often happens with another two set of children, where one is stronger and bigger and often gets very physical and emotional. What is the right way to deal with these things in general? And if I can add an additional question, are we supposed to punish the child that started the rivalry, temporarily hold back privileges, or punish both until they sort it out? What's the right way to handle these situations? Thank you. So, like I started off, I'm just going to say it again, as a way of introduction to anything I might say, that it takes a lot of siyat d'shmaya in general, whenever, dealing any kind of chinuch habunim, trying to get it right. We always need the Ani Hashem, and Hashem is the third partner when it comes to parents that are being mechanach children. So if we need Hashem's help in everything we do, and we need Hashem's help especially when it comes to figuring out what's right and wrong in our interactions with other people, how much more so when it comes to our children, where we have the third shittif in our lives, and we need Siyat D'Shmaya. Any parent who thinks that they're going to get it right and find the way to do it and always have the right answer is probably going to be making quite a few mistakes, especially because different children need different approaches, and different situations need different approaches. And to try to come up with a rule how to apply in all situations and all areas of sibling rivalry, for example, it's usually just going to cause mistakes. It's so important to know how to apply what, when, and that's what we need Siyat D'Shmaya for, to get it right. So very often when it comes to these kind of questions, if you're going to give a one answer and try to fit it onto all sizes and all children, you're probably going to already be making a lot of mistakes, aside from the fact that anyone who thinks that they could get it right on their own will also often be mistaken. Now, talking about the topic of sibling rivalry, seeing children fighting around, I mean, this mother or father, whoever it is writing that there's two sets of children where this happens often. There's an older set of children, it seems, and a younger set of children, it seems. And if it's happening twice in one home, does that mean there's a problem? No, this is normal. This is normal. And it's happening twice in your house and twice in other homes and sometimes more. And this is to be expected. And it's very important, you know, to understand that. Situations at home in a Yiddish eshtib that are normal, it's important to know that they're normal. It doesn't mean you ignore it. It doesn't mean that you neglect it. It doesn't mean that it's normal to let it just go. But it means that it's normal. Nobody should feel lost. And nobody should feel like maybe there's something wrong with my children. They don't stop bickering or fighting when they're around too much. You know, it's normal. Kids fight around, especially when it comes to siblings. They say the first set of brothers, you know, fought each other to death. And that's always how it's been. There's another vertel they say about v'haft l'racha k'moichu. You have to love your friend. But about a brother, it only says, l'sisno sechichu b'vavechu. You shouldn't hate him. You know, it has always been difficult for siblings to get along. And very often, you know, this is something that makes parents crazy, gets them very nervous, very frustrated. Very often, parents get so emotional and so nervous and frustrated that whatever they end up doing, so much of it has to do with their own emotions and their own feelings and their own, you know, feelings of frustration, and not so much anymore sticking up for one child or being mechanech the other child. And that's also something that, you know, us parents have to be responsible about and be honest about and realize what's really going on. When we know something's normal and it's to be expected and we shouldn't lose ourselves, it helps us stay a little more rational and logical and deal with things the way they should be done. Another thing that I'll just throw in, and you know, often, especially with parents who only have little children and didn't yet see children grow older, knowing that as much as children fight around and bicker, as much as they're at each other's necks, as much as they're jealous of each other, as much as they have whatever issues it is getting along, as they get older, things usually get better. They usually get better. Now, I'm not saying in the teenage years you'll notice it yet, but kids get older and even older and even older. And by the time they're really adults, and by the time they're getting married, and all of a sudden they love each other, and they like spending time with each other, and they have a good relationship, and they're helping each other, and things just change. And it just goes to show this is part of growing up. So again, not to be neglected, not to be ignored, but just to put in perspective that when kids are little, there's much more competition, and they're much more emotional, and they're much more easy to get into conflict, and these things usually pass, like a lot of different things, and knowing that it will pass just also makes it a little easier. But like I said, not caring and not doing something could also cause a lot of damage. So you have parents who sometimes just don't care, and they let kids fight it out and hurt each other, and that's obviously not good. And the same thing is when you're making the mistake, and you're either screaming at one child, humiliating, or labeling, or attacking, that could also be a problem. So it's clearly important to get it right. If you can't ignore it, and you can't let kids beat each other up, and you also don't want to get too tight on them or hurt a kid or damage a kid by making him feel bad and calling him a bully or labeling him, or it's so important, like I said, just starting off with the right amount of siyat neshmaya, knowing that we can't always figure out what the right thing to do. And you can't go to either extreme. There are parents that try to get so nitty-gritty and try to control everything going on at home, and that's not either a mahalach. It doesn't make anyone happy, and it's not good for the children either. On the other hand, you're not running a zoo. It's not a jungle. It's not the strongest and fittest will get it right. There's definitely something in the middle that needs to be applied with a certain amount of seichel, a certain amount of understanding, and thinking things through. So to know how to react to a situation, but not overreact. To know how to get involved when things need your involvement, but not to get involved too much. To know how to let kids work things out when they're just arguing around a little, and they're just fighting over who's going to have it first, but they're not yet fighting physically, and they're not hurting each other's feelings. It's just something that always has to be weighed to make sure you're not going from one extreme to the other. In general, when you're talking about a topic of bullying, where one child is harassing and bullying another one too much and too often and too strong, that is something that definitely has to be taken care of. I spoke about this once, bullying and chayder in school, but the same thing is at home. Now, those that make it sound like you have to make the younger or the weaker child strong, build him up, his confidence, let him learn how to deal with it. And there's all kinds of therapy today to help little kids understand how to answer a bully and not be afraid of a bully. It's very wrong. It's very wrong. The reason why children have parents raising them, and the reason why there are adults supervising in a school, in a chayde, there's manalim, there's principals, and there's people there to make it a safe environment, is that this shouldn't happen. A child shouldn't have to stick up for himself. Now, of course, it's good to teach a child what to do when somebody does bully him. So he should know, he should be prepared, he should have what to say, he should know the skills, he shouldn't be so weak. But it doesn't mean that it's his responsibility not be bullied. If somebody's bullying someone else, and there's an adult, there's someone supervising, someone mature enough and responsible enough, that person should be making sure it doesn't happen. And the same thing is when it's happening at home. You see one child bullying another too often, it's not the younger child. You don't scream at the younger one and say, why are you getting so flustered? How come you start crying every time he does this? Stop, grow up. No, he's not the one doing something wrong. The other one is. It's so often when it comes to couple sessions and marriage therapy where the same thing happens. You have a therapist that's busy screaming at the one that's getting bullied, let's call it, or controlled, simply because that's the one that's easier to scream at. That's the one that will tolerate it. That's the one that won't answer back. And the bully, the obnoxious one, he's not going to take it so easy, and that's why you don't want to start up with him. Now, I'm not saying that you should scream at the bully, or you should label him a bully, or you should hurt his feelings. I'm saying that a responsible adult is the one that's there to make sure that children aren't being hurt. And when something is happening too often, and there's a consistent kind of bullying that's happening from one to the other, it's important to put a stop to it and not to wait until it happens. That's not called bickering and fighting. That's bullying. And you don't want somebody to keep on knocking the other one and to make them feel bad and to break their confidence and to take advantage of them. That's definitely something that has to be taken seriously. Another thing, though, that's important to understand is that very often the one that's bullying is not all that confident and not all that macho and not all that happy as it seems. So often you have one child, or either a kid in the class or a kid in the family, that's hurting other people's feelings and making everyone do whatever he wants. It's not coming from confidence. It's not coming from happiness. It's coming from insecurity. It's coming from his own issues often. And very, very often, this child is not all that confident at all, actually a very sensitive child. And sometimes his way of expressing his sensitivity and his insecurity is by bullying others and screaming at them and hurting their feelings, not knowing how to interact with them. So we see sometimes the victim, and we can identify with the victim who's very sensitive and being hurt. We don't realize sometimes how the bully is also very sensitive. And that's why sometimes what people do to quiet down the bully is they shame them, they humiliate them, because that's what works. Oh, here you go, here's the bully, you know, and things like that. Because it works. And the reason why it's working is because he's a very sensitive child. And that's exactly the reason not to do that. As much as you have to stop bullying and you have to get in the way of one child hurting the other, it shouldn't be done at the expense of damaging the older one or the stronger one or the one that's actually bullying. So to know how to address a child like that and to know how to be clear with him that it can't happen without making him feel bad, without putting him down, and without making everyone think that he's a bad kid, that's very important. Very important. Another thing is that often parents try to go into all kinds of explanations and logical debates about why it's wrong and why he did have it first and it's his turn, not your turn, and why you're doing it again, and I'll explain to you yesterday and the other week and all kinds of chashbonos. It doesn't work. And very often when it comes to sensitivity and emotionalism, logic and debates and reasoning don't work. So if you're waiting for a bully, I'm just calling him a bully, I don't want you to call him a bully, but if you're waiting for the bully to accept your arguments and stop taking advantage of somebody, you know, because you explained it, it's usually a mistake. It's usually a mistake. It's not going to work. You want to get very clear and very technical and say, this can't happen. I will not allow this to happen. It's not about him, and it's not about explaining it. Subconsciously, he knows why it can't happen. It's only when you start explaining it and debating it that he's going to stick up for himself and say why he's right. When he hears you put your foot down and say, this can't happen, very often that's exactly what's going to help. And when you stop something like that, and whether you're saying whatever kind of consequences will happen, or you're just being very clear and firm about the fact that you're not going to allow it to happen, and it doesn't happen, you're stopping the bullying from happening. From there and on, you'd be surprised, but the best thing you could do is to build that child. The one that was hurting his brother, build him up, make him feel good, make him feel happy. You're not making him feel better than everyone else, and more entitled than everyone else, but make him feel good. You'd be surprised that a lot of his bullying and take advantage of others is because he doesn't feel good about himself. And when you make him feel good about himself and how good he is and how much he likes the shiur and how impressed you are by how much he does help and how much he does hold himself back, you'd be surprised, and very often that's exactly what he needs to make himself feel better and take less advantage of other people. in general, when you're trying to work out situations like this, sometimes it's mamish small technical ideas that could really help out so much that people overlook. We put kids in the same room or the same schedule or sitting next to each other. We put them in situations that bring about these kind of things that could have been avoided if only you put a little thought to it. Sometimes a small change in the seating arrangement, for example, a simple idea, or just changing schedules about who plays when with who, or who goes to which friend or which neighbor and things like that. So many things could be changed. Just like we're not supposed to put ourselves in situations that are too difficult for us to overcome, we're not supposed to put our children in situations that are too difficult for them to overcome. I mention often the halacha, you're not allowed to hit an older child because he might hit you back. He's not allowed to hit you back, but you're not allowed to put him into a situation where he might be tempted to. A lot of sibling rivalry, I believe, with a little bit of chachma, a little bit of preempting, especially the patterns, the recurring patterns, the ones that we see happening again and again, why do we let it happen again and again? Maybe there's something you could do. Maybe there's a small change you could do. And when you talk about it in advance instead of waiting for it to happen, and you talk about it nicely, and you ask this child nicely a day earlier, would you mind changing the seat? It would mean so much to me if you do it. You don't have to. But he's not yet now on his chair, and you're not asking to get off his chair, and he's not asking to get off his chair after his brother asked him to get off the chair. Sometimes these things could be dealt with so simply and so easily. In general, knowing how to communicate in advance about something and not waiting until it happens is often so helpful. And when you talk about it in advance, there's no emotional drama and the challenge is so much less and so much easier to communicate this that happens every once in a while. You know, Shabbos is coming, Yom Tov is coming, I don't want it to happen. If it happens, this will be the natural consequence. No blame, nothing personal, nothing about you. It's about it. It can't happen, and if it happens, this is what I'll have to do. And if it doesn't happen, and I see everyone's working very hard to make sure that it doesn't happen, whatever the it is, it's the conflict, it's the bickering, it's the insulting, then there will be a reward, or whatever else, whatever other kind of incentive. It's very important when you communicate in advance, with nothing personal, and you're very clear about whatever natural consequence you're going to implement, and you're not going to pull back on. And you don't want your children to see that when you say something, you don't mean it. At the same time, whatever incentive that they will get, whatever reward for doing the right thing, very often with the right amount of encouragement and preempting these things, everything becomes easier. So to wait until something happens and then try to get all lost and flustered about who to stick up for and who to put down or let them fight it out, you know, I think that so often things could be avoided with a little bit of chachman. And I know we're all very busy and very stressed out and we don't have time to think and to prepare and to plan, but very often it's a lot easier than we think. So, like I said, I don't think it makes any sense to let kids fight it out in general, unless you're talking about small stuff. It's just important to remember that the bully isn't that much happier, and the victim isn't that much worse off. Very often, the bully himself is the one that's not so happy, and we have to be careful about his feelings as well. As much as you don't want to cause damage by letting one child bully the other, you don't want to cause the damage of breaking the child that's causing the other one pain. So I think just to sum up the main ideas, it's important to realize that, yeah, these are normal things going on at home. Don't get flustered or frustrated. Don't take any extreme approach of ignoring things totally and letting kids deal with everything on their own or getting involved in every little nitty-gritty thing. It's important to realize that when something does happen too often and there's one child taking advantage of the other or one child is feeling put down or not safe, you know, or abused, then of course you do have to mix in, but do it in a way that's not causing more damage. Do it in a way that's not personal. And yes, if you could avoid things from happening and avoid situations from coming up like this, very often that will help us get it right. So I think that the balance between l'saylech ruchu b'ameichu and l'samad adam reichu, knowing when not to get too involved and when knowing when not to allow bad things to happen, we need the Ani Hashem, we need the Siyat D'Shemaya, and the Metz Hashem, when we're mispawel and we look to Hashem and we have the Siyat D'Shemaya, we'll be able to see a lot of nachas from all our children.